This is A Bit of Vitamin Z being brought to you by Zae. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get right to it. The few things I wanted to discuss on this episode. Can you get more stupid? Now, I know that sounds like a stupid question, but I've had this theory for a while now, since I was like a little kid. And I've been kind of pondering into the relative levels of stupidity that exist amongst us, you know, people. Do I have a booger here? I can feel it. All right, we're good. And the reason for that being is, I feel like a lot of us are super stupid, and two things happens in life. You either get less stupid or you remain at that same level of stupidity that you always were at. I don't think you can get less and less stupid over time to be completely non-stupid. I think some stupidity will always remain within us, and which I think is essential. That's a different topic though. And it's very hard to, and the question is, can you get more stupid though? I get you can get less. You can sort of slowly fix yourself and rework the bullshit education you received at home than at school to get a little bit more smarter. But can you be stupid 1 year, like super stupid, and get more stupid? I'm not talking about like brain dysfunction or like alcohol abuse or drugs and like deteriorating the internal organs of your body. No. I'm just talking about living your day-to-day normal life, being always stupid and then slowly getting more stupid. Or you just always remain that level stupid. I think we always remain, like if you're stupid, you will always remain at that level. It's hard to get more stupid. Anyway, just like food for thought. I don't know, something I've been thinking about. Another thing I wanted to discuss. So like this idea of socialism versus capitalism. A lot of these things are, hold on, is this thing recording? You better be keep recording. Don't bullshit me now when this recording shit. I'd hate to redo this entire fucking episode. Anyway, the theory was simply based off the idea of socialism, for example, more taxes being collected from people, coming back to the state, and then being redistributed in the form of social services, right? Universal healthcare, education, parks, all those types of things. All right, cool. But what happens a lot in that phase of collecting everything and then redistributing it is that it stops here. Because if the people are here, here's the government, and it starts here, and it's supposed to come back down here, but it essentially never does, right? Because of like greed and corruption. So on paper, it sounds cool, but as soon as those people here collect everything, they redistribute it not at the rate and at the same amount that people expect it to come back to them. It always comes back in like very slowly, very little. It doesn't come back full circle as well as people hope it to work out. And then if you think about like inequality in the US and how much that inequality has increased since the Reagan era. Because from post-World War II up until the early 80s, every level, there's charts that can show you this. I should probably find one. But I remember being taught this in US history post-1945 by Dr. Johnson at University of South Florida. And all these different charts, the same chart, but all these different bars of each category of wealth, of socioeconomic status in the country had very good levels. It was very, each category was doing well. But then, so like, here's like from like poor to rich, right? And you have all the charts, all the bars. And then like post-Reagan till now, this gets higher where the rich is at, and then the poor gets smaller, 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 smaller. And it's been going like that since the 80s. And even worse now with the highest inflation we've had since 1982, inflation, what it does is when it's killing the dollar, as inflation is happening, and your same dollar, it has a smaller purchasing power. The people that have assets get rich. People that don't, that either have no cash or just a bunch of cash, but no assets. You know what I'm saying? No investments in sort of in anything, no stocks, no index funds, no crypto, no real estate, no businesses, none of that. Then you're just constantly getting poorer and rich is getting richer. And then, so we've had that for like a while, right? And then the whole idea at that time with Reaganomics, trickle-down economics, was less taxes and allowing rich to get richer because they will reinvest that into the economy. Cannot put brakes on rich people. Let them constantly flow money back to the economy and then it'll trickle down. But that's what I'm saying. It's the idea, even in the word of it, saying trickle, it sounds fucking stupid because it's coming down like this. It's not coming back the way people expect it to. Okay, we're back. This is like a 2-day episode because while I was recording yesterday talking about, let me check my notes. I think I was talking about like the difference in economics and how essentially whether you want to, it's two sides of the same coin, whether you want to look at that neoliberalism form of capitalism or that extreme form of socialism like Soviet Union, either way, you're still getting money allocated at the top, whether you want to call it private citizens and businessmen, or you want to call it the state, whether small government or big government. Right at the end of the day, there's a high concentration of wealth in the hands of a few that's not getting trickled down to the bottom. So either way, whatever you, however you want to see it, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, there's different levels of quality of life. You know what I'm saying? Like in the 50s in the US, you had all these vacuums and washing machines and all this shit being invented and the quality of life going up. And Soviet Union was the first country to get a man into space, but they couldn't even make, you know, basic appliances like washing machines. But they could do the whole rocket shit and get someone up in space and orbit the planet. So that's crazy. But the reason I mention all of that, because I was kind of curious. I just want to illustrate how sometimes we see ourselves so different, but it's really just two sides of the same coin. Either way, inequality is bad. Either way, however you want to see it, we're living in the form of a mixture of both. When people idolize the U.S. and then complain that, oh, you know, Nordic countries are socialist. Well, here in the U.S., you know what I'm saying? You have all these poor people always talking shit about quote-unquote socialism because the propaganda during the Cold War is so heavy till now that the mention of the word is essentially designed to scare people. And these are the same people that take free healthcare. You know what I'm saying? These are the people that take free food stamps from the government to buy food. They still take free shit, but then don't want to call that socialism. That's paid by a taxpayer. You're still taking free shit from the government. So there can't be 100% form of that, because then you wouldn't be helping people in any way whatsoever. And politicians just as rich, just can't show it. You know what I'm saying? We can't have politicians walking around super rich, but they are. They'll have shit in under people's names, their friends' names, their kids' names, right? Everybody, you know, Trump was hella fucking rich, apparently, allegedly. You know, I don't think we got to see the taxes, did we? But, you know, politicians and government in the Soviet Union in the 80s, for example, they were released on the TVs, like how certain politicians would live in certain mansions and shit. They're like, God damn, this is so, whoa. The average person doesn't know anything like this at all. Like, how the fuck are you able to afford this from the backs of people? You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. High inequality and whatever economic system you want to call it, it's not good. And the thing I was thinking about Nordic countries, like, okay, I get you can have somebody have like 9 months of paternity. My question is, what if I don't have kids? And I never need a paternity, or my girl never needs a maternity leave. Can we get like a cash back option on that shit? Because we technically paid for it. Excuse me. For somebody else to have those 9 months, can we get that back? Or can I exchange and say, hey, instead of 9 months paternity leave, can I just take like a 9 months sabbatical? You know what I'm saying? Or does it have to be specific, contingent the fact that you had a kid? I don't know. That's why I'm asking y'all. Shout out to everybody listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to all the people in Frankfurt, San Jose, everybody that always be watching. Don't forget to follow Zaid UFZ on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. You know what I'm saying? If you like listen to audio version, but you want to see little clips and snippets and other videos and shit like that, then go ahead and check out the YouTube and the TikTok. And don't forget to follow me on IG for updates and things like that. And don't forget to follow Zaid on Spotify for music, Tidal, wherever you listen to music, to stream my songs. We just hit 2,000 streams on one song. My first 1,000, and then my first 2,000 song Diving. And I'll try to play a little bit here or something. And I'm super happy for that. Shout out to the playlisting. It's crazy how Spotify pays the least amount to the artist. Pays the least amount. However, they do have the most active users. I think over 380 million monthly users. And Apple's number two, but it actually doesn't even come close. It's a distant second to Spotify. And then Tidal, I'm sure, is even further behind that, but it sucks because Tidal does pay more. Like a million streams on Spotify is like $4,200, if I'm not mistaken. And a million streams on Apple is like $7,500. And I believe a million streams on Tidal is like between $12,000 and $13,000. So fucking crazy. But Apple and Tidal do their own playlist, so it's like curated by them, and then like different radio broadcasts, like Brazilian pop or whatever. But Spotify has that ability for independent different playlists where you can search. I'm gonna search for chill, I'm searching for this, searching for that, and people can make their own and share it. And that flexibility, I think, is what allows it to have so many monthly users, and it allows it for artists to get their music heard by getting on so many different playlists. And as people are shuffling and listening to so many different artists going about their day, doing different shit, you know what I'm saying? They can like, oh, that's a cool song. Hold on, who sings that? Oh, I don't know this artist. Let me check them out. Oh, what's their catalog looking like? Oh, cool. What's the profile? Let me follow them and see what new music they come out with, because I really like that song. So because of Spotify playlists, I've been helped out a lot. through that with official Jay Simmons. You follow me on Instagram. I made a post and tagged him in it if anybody else is interested in the same thing. Now, so yeah, I was curious, is there a cash back option on social benefits for shit I don't use? Or are we just supposed to say, if, for example, we pay taxes, you know, for cops and firefighters. What if I live in the U.S. and never, ever needed to call 911, never, ever called, needed a firefighter, never, ever, you know, needed those, needed a paramedic? No, paramedics have to pay. They charge you. Back in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken, it used to be like $500 for a paramedic to come. Now I'm sure it's at least a couple grand. So there's no cashback option, but there should be some sort of incentive to behave better. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, this is universal healthcare. Cool. But what about people that's always going there for like the dumbest shit and holding up the ER line? Wait time is like super long because they're there like, oh, I have boo-boo, I got this, I got that. You know what I'm saying? And then by the same time, you don't want to give cash incentives and have people deprive themselves, neglect their health simply because they're going to get paid to not use the social system. I think that's not good either. But for example, the fatter, unhealthier you are, the more you do cost the healthcare system, right? The more, obviously, if your kid has cancer, they should be helped to take care of. You know, that's something different. That wasn't in your control. But the shit that you are is in your control, like how you eat and your lack of exercise, that is your control. And that is something that other people do have to pay for. You know what I'm saying? So there should be incentives to keep people healthy. There's a reason Japan monitors the weight of their citizens. And it's basically legal to be fat there. So a reason for that. You know what I'm saying? It's not because they really care about your health. They're looking at this as a cost way. And the healthier, better way we take care of ourselves, the healthier society we can construct, the more sustainable it is, and the least likely we are to have, you know, bullshit problems and waste of expenses. Because the saying that, oh, there's no money, oh, there's money. They make money. Government can make money anytime they want. And the more money they put on circulation and inflation, all that bullshit, like they literally make money. Money doesn't really have, you know, like real value. It's like a made up thing. It's kind of weird. But anyway, let me skip this stupid ad. What else did I want to share? Okay, so I was reading an Economist post talking about Jews being allowed to enter the Middle East again. And it's like, the Middle East has always had fucking Jews. What do you mean they're allowed to enter? You know what I'm saying? Israel wasn't created for Jews to have a safe place because Middle Eastern people kept fucking with them. It's because Europe fucked with them, okay? It wasn't a Palestinian or another Arab that killed 6 million Jews. It was fucking Germans. It was Europeans. And you know who run Israel? Europeans. The white Jews are Europeans. That's what they are. Netanyahu, his granny buried where? In Israel. Where my granny buried? In Palestine. And that motherfucker want to be, you know, create a bullshit Middle Eastern democracy. You know what I'm saying? And it's fucking ridiculous to think about that, because if the West truly cared about the safety of Jews, which they didn't, they didn't enter World War II because of the Holocaust. No, they didn't give a fuck. So there's just as big of anti-Semitics in the US and Britain as there was in Germany. The shit never went nowhere, because the U.S. State Department, as Jews were escaping Germany and they were going to France, like in Marseille, for example, the embassy there, the State Department, who are they? The white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Those motherfuckers didn't like Irish, they didn't like Catholic, they didn't like Southern or Eastern Europeans. They don't give a fuck about Jews. The motherfuckers are assholes. So they would make super hard requirements for the Jews to be able to enter the U.S. For example, one of the requirements was, a lot of times they would tell them was, you have to go back to Germany and get a signed letter from a police officer there to verify that what you're claiming is happening to you and your people is actually true. And they were like, huh? Go back to get a piece of paper signed? Are you fucking stupid? They're killing us. If we go back, we'll die. So it wasn't about love for Jews. It was about, oh, what the fuck are we supposed to do? Shit, all right, cool. Let's sell them a piece of land that we don't own, that we don't even have the right to sell, but we'll sell it anyway. That's some cunt shit. You know what I'm saying? Illegal. It's not like when I say, oh, the state of Israel doesn't have a right to exist because I hate Jews. First of all, I can't be anti-Semitic because I am a Semite. You know what I'm saying? Can't be anti-Semitic if I am a Semite. That's number one. Number two, it's not about safety. If they really cared about their safety, why didn't they give them the best European land? Why didn't they give them the best land in Europe, block it off, give them their own military, make them build their own shit, their own kibbutzes and all that good shit, and have them do what they do? You know what I'm saying? Nah, they had to give them Arab land when ain't no Arab was responsible for the Holocaust in the first place. That shit makes sense, right? Yeah, sure. And here's another thing. The same right-wing people here are the same right-wing people, nationalistic, in Israel. They're like part of the same cult. And it's that same cult that Nazis are a part of too. So it's a weird group. It's a weird group because like Latin America was a place that a accommodate and adopted so many Nazis. At the same time, so many Jews too are there. So it's weird. I don't understand all the dynamics of everything. I'm just like relaying information. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to spit the history from the past because the present's fucking me up and I'm trying to understand the future. You feel me? From the macro to the micro, back to the macro. You feel me? So that's one thing. And it was like, Middle East has always had Jews. Jesus was Middle East. Jesus was Palestinian and Jewish. And you know who killed them? The other Jews ratted them out. So what does that tell you? That's why the Catholic Church didn't give a fuck about what was happening to the Jews when Hitler was, you know, killing them off, because he was just like, well, it was the Jews that killed Jesus. So, man, I fuck with Jesus. I really do. Jesus is like one of the smoothest, dopest motherfuckers to ever walk the planet. And he was Jewish. And I ain't got no issue with Jew. I have issue with the dialogue. You know what I'm saying? For example, Arab Jews get treated shit by the European Jews. Because this idea of a safehood and state of Israel for like all Jews, it's assuming that all Jews are like 100% the same and cookie cutters. It's ridiculous for one major reason. It's because Jews don't even like themselves. They don't even like the other Jews. They don't. They treat the Arab Jews like trash. They treat the Ethiopian Jews like trash. That's their slaves. Literally, it's a labor force that they brought them for there. When they would have wars and beef with the Arabs and they didn't want to hire Palestinians for shit, they don't want Arab labor, they would have the Ethiopians ready to do that shit and replace them for them. But they teach racism. So in the 70s, when they're bringing all the Arab Jews from places like Yemen and bringing them to Israel, what they essentially were doing, hold on, let me check if I'm recording. What they essentially were doing was teaching them to hate all the other Arabs. The Arab Christian, Arab Muslim didn't fucking matter. They breeded that Arab hate. You know what I'm saying? Because don't forget, when Jews were kicked out of Spain, when Spain got reunified and Spain was on their bullshit and they kicked all the Jews out of Spain, who adopted? Who took all the other Jews in? The entire Middle East, from Morocco to Iran. It was the Ottoman Empire that took the Jews in. So don't bullshit me about, oh, Middle East is being accepted of Jews. The dialogue that they've created, the propaganda, is that any critique over Israel and their government all of a sudden has to be tied to Judaism and Jews and being anti-Semitic and hating on Jews. The fuck? I can't criticize nobody. A government can't be criticized. The second anything can't be criticized, like a religion or a book or anything, can't be criticized, can't be critiqued, can't be improved upon. Oh shit, you've given that minority power. And that's what they've done, is given this minority extreme power. Because a country like United Arab Emirates, so Saudi Arabia, for example, that lack of Arab unity is exactly what used to piss Gaddafi off, former dictator of Libya. It's exactly what he used to critique and make fun of everybody, saying, where's your lack of unity? And it was his ideas for a unified Africa, for a currency, for a create his own bank backed by his own gold and silver, over 140 tons of each, to unify the continent of Africa. It's exactly what they killed him for. It wasn't international human rights violation. Everybody commits international human rights violation. International human rights violation is like a fucking parking ticket. Who has never had one? It's a speeding ticket. It's nothing compared to what all the other countries do. They didn't kill Saddam because he was committing human rights violations. Saddam was placed by the CIA and then taken out when it felt like he was more useful to them dead than alive. Simple as that. The chemical weapons he used to kill the Kurdish people, those were weapons given to him by the US to use against the war against Iran. But he's gonna be treated and used and killed as an enemy to make the points across by the US government more clearly acceptable and believable by the American public. For an invasion of war, to send troops. For you to die for me as a soldier, I have to sell you something. I cannot just tell you based off your love and admiration for me to go fight for me. No, I have to sell you something. You think Constantine, Emperor of Rome, didn't convert the entire Roman Empire to Christianity out of faith, out of love for Jesus? No, it was simple brainwashing, because your life as a soldier isn't gonna reach past your 30s. Definitely going to reach past your 30s, especially at that time. So it's easier to sell you something. It's easier for you to fight for me knowing that your life is shit. It's horrible. It's going to be horrible. You're going to die probably a horrible death. However, if you convert to this faith that I'm calling Christianity, there is an afterlife in this faith. And if you do right in this world, the reward in the next. So you could die peacefully knowing that even though you took shit your entire fucking life, that you will be rewarded with something slightly better in the next. It's going to have so much fun if you go to heaven. If you follow this faith, if you follow what I'm teaching. That's all it is strategy and brainwashing. That's all it is. So, and again, I got no problem with, you know, Israeli people being allowed to travel. But why are these all Middle Eastern countries when they negotiate with them? Because they're making deals, military, they're selling shit, they're doing things. They're like, that normalization, quote unquote, is to make business deals, which that's fine. Do the business deals. Oh, you want to let Israeli citizens travel across the Middle East? You want to start allowing them more synagogues to go around the Middle East? And you want to start making them feel safe and cool? Cool, I fuck with Jews. I ain't got no problem with that. Got a problem with the principle dealing with the state of Israel. That's my problem, is how you going to negotiate that? How you going to negotiate them being allowed to travel, but you won't negotiate saying, hey, we'll allow you to travel to all our Middle Eastern countries. We'll do deals with you. We'll allow you some synagogues. We'll start building Jewish neighborhoods in Dubai and shit like that. But you got to start allowing them refugees since you established the state of Israel in 1948. They haven't been allowed back. To their homeland. You got to allow them back in because that's where they're from. They're still in refugee camps in Lebanon. You got to allow them back in. You, Gaza, West Bank, you got to start. Got to start fucking with that bullshit. Stop violating international law. Stop building illegal settlements. Stop giving citizenship. Stop allowing Jews around the world to enter the Middle East simply because they're Jewish. That's some bullshit. How somebody in a refugee camp that can't go back to Palestine ain't allowed to enter, but you allow some motherfucker from Brooklyn, born and raised his whole life from Brooklyn, it's a white motherfucker, it's an Ashkenazi Jew, his ancestry is Europe. Don't bullshit me with that 2,000 years ago my ancestors were from here. Don't bullshit me with that. We're all from other places. Essentially, we're all come from Africa anyway. That's where the original prophets come from. So don't bullshit me with that 2,000-year biblical history. Fuck you and your Bible. You allow an 18-year-old American from Brooklyn to come to the Middle East and act like this is where he's from and walk around where there's a motherfucking refugee camp whose grandfather had to flee Palestine. That's where all his ancestors are buried and he ain't allowed to enter. That's some bullshit. How come the Middle Eastern country couldn't negotiate that? How are you gonna just open up your ass and have them fuck you in the ass with no Vaseline like that? Oh yeah, they're gonna travel all over. Oh yeah, they're gonna do this. Oh yeah, they're gonna come here. Oh yeah, we're gonna get in the synagogue. Cool, that's fine. But where's the respect from the other half? How you accepting all these demands and you ain't asking nothing in return? Emirates, talking to you motherfuckers. Saudi, everybody, like, what the hell? It make no sense. Make no sense. It's that lack of unity. Because anybody that tries to unite dies. Anybody with the powerful ideas that is actually trying to build a real community based off justice, equality, and peace, they're killing. Like Bob Marley, like Malcolm X, they're killing. Simple as that. Like Jesus, they're killing. So that's the issue I have with. And Burna Boy was talking about that in the article. He was talking about that lack of unity. They didn't kill Gaddafi because of international human rights violation. They killed him because he was going to build his own currency, unite Africa. And anytime Western powers wanted to buy resources, the minerals and oil, they have to do it on his fucking terms because you're buying it from the continent of Africa. So you ain't going to come and fuck us in the ass and give us pennies on the dollar for this shit to make your shit and then resell it to your people and give your people a better quality of life and have us living like shit with our corrupted leaders and constantly keep us divided and bickering and fighting each other. That's some bullshit. Nah, they killed them because of the fear of unity. That's what they killed them for. That's why they invaded. That's why they had to overthrow him. That's why they had to bullshit everybody about democracy. Democracy is so full of shit. All the Western leaders, every time they bring up democracy and freedom, they sound so full of shit. Because there ain't nothing they like more than is to control people. But that's what they want to do is tell you freedom and tell you democracy. Because here's the thing in the middle, everywhere around the world, everybody knows they get fucked in the ass. Everybody knows the politicians and all the bullshit, they know they're getting fucked in the ass. They know. They're awake most of the time they're getting fucked in the ass. But Americans, Western people love, they don't want to know they get fucked in the ass. They want to get Bill Cosby. They want to get offered a drink, have a good time, wake up the next morning. Now remember what happened. But either way, you still got fucked in the ass.